strategy, and I'd like to talk to you about the UK's corporate reporting framework. The UK has had limited liability companies since 1855, which was 44 years after New York introduced legislation for that. Even then, the concept of limited liability was a controversial one and came with significant responsibilities, in both in transparency and in accountability. One of the consequences of limited liability is the separation of management and ownership of companies. This divide makes it more difficult for investors and other shareholders to hold management of the company to account for business decisions and thus creating a barrier for investment. The UK Companies Act uses accounts as a tool to improve transparency for limited liability companies, and accounts make financial and business impacts of management decisions transparent to stakeholders. The UK has a long history of financial reporting requirements that provide information to investors on an annual basis. The diagram here shows reporting requirements before 2013, which consisted solely of a director's report setting out a summary of the key transactions and activities during the year, annual accounts showing true and fair picture of the company's affairs. Within this framework, listed companies used EU-adopted IFRS to prepare their group annual accounts, and private companies used EU-adopted IFRS or UK generally accepted accounting practices. And this split in accounting standards continues to apply today. Company directors were then responsible for laying annual accounts with the company registrar, which makes them publicly available. However, in recent years, the UK reporting framework has come to look a lot more like this. And now financial reporting and directors' reports are at the core of the reporting, and both are subject to audit. Since 2013, more layers have been added to this framework so that it more explicitly encompasses business model and strategy, risks and uncertainties, employee matters, environmental matters, social and community matters, and human rights. So why has this happened? Over the years, attention has increasingly turned to non-financial reporting. In 1992, a report by Lord Cadbury from the Cadbury Committee developed a set of principles of good corporate governance known as the Corporate Governance Code, which were introduced into the London Stock Exchange listing rules. The report made three basic recommendations. The chief executive and chair of a company should be separated. Board should have at least three non-executive directors, two of whom should have no financial or personal ties to the executive. And each board should have an annual committee an audit committee composed of entirely non-executive directors. In 2006, the UK introduced directors' duties into Section 172 of the Companies Act, and that said that a director must act in the way he considers, in good faith, would be most likely to promote the success of the company for the benefit of his members as a whole, whilst taking account of the interests of other groups. This was followed in 2013 by the introduction of the strategic reporting requirements. They introduced requirements for all medium and large companies to produce a report that includes a fair review of the company's business, including balanced and comprehensive review of the performance and development of the business during the financial year, principal risks and uncertainties facing the company, and information relating to environmental and employee matters. Apologies. In addition, listed companies were required to report on items such as social and community issues, human rights, and gender analysis. As you can see, these make up a significant proportion of the present UK reporting framework, and this enables companies and investors to remain focused on decision-useful information. The information is filed by the company its annual reports alongside its financial statements. More recently, we've introduced developments relating to the EU's non-financial reporting directive. However, because the UK was already one step ahead of the EU, the only addition to the UK framework was an obligation to incorporate reporting on environmental matters, social and employees, anti-bribery and corruption, and respect for human rights within the financial reporting statement. And then in 2018, the streamlined energy carbon reporting requirements were introduced in the UK, bringing requirements to disclose energy usage, energy efficiency, and greenhouse gas emissions. These additional developments reinforce the UK's leading role in developing non-financial reporting, but the requirements are still bedding in. Turning now to investors. In the UK, we have obligations relating to the stewardship of a company. The Stewardship Code sets out that the asset managers should focus on creating long-term value for clients and beneficiaries, using their governance resources and incentives to support stewardship objectives, and managing conflicts of interest to put the best interests of clients and beneficiaries first. And last week, the Financial Reporting Council published the revised Stewardship Code, setting out high expectations of those investing money on behalf of UK savers and pensioners. It will enhance the UK's position as a destination for long-term sustainable investment, creating returns for clients, their beneficiaries, and wider society. So, as the focus of this conference is on sustainable development goals, I wanted to show you how UK non-financial reporting requirements interact with reporting against these goals. In the main, the UK requirements have been designed as being permissive, meaning companies can use any relevant framework. Sorry, I'd skipped the wrong slide. In the main, the UK reporting requirements have been designed as being permissive, meaning companies can use any relevant frameworks to report against these requirements. This table sets out how the UK non-financial reporting regulations relate to the Sustainable Development Goals. As you can see, it's somewhat subjective as to how they relate to the goals, but what is clear is that the UK requirements not only include the SDGs, but also go beyond them. I've talked about the requirements on preparers and asset managers. I'd now like to talk about the stakeholders with an interest in this area. Company non-financial reporting information is used by a wide range of stakeholders, from investors and capital providers to government agencies. Stakeholder consensus is that non-financial reporting is an increasingly important part of the decision-making process. However, with so much useful information, the question of where and how it is presented becomes equally important. For example, should it be presented alongside the financial information in annual accounts, or should it be included in separate report? Winston Churchill, a former British Prime Minister, once said that this report, by virtue of its very size, prevents itself from being read. And the question now is whether or not the information presented in non-financial reporting is coming to that position. This is part of the discussion that is happening within the UK. To sum up, the UK has a long history of financial and non-financial reporting and has developed reporting measures accordingly. It is becoming increasingly clear that balancing accountability to shareholders and other stakeholders will be a key component of the future of company reporting. As society becomes ever more concerned with companies' wider impacts on the environment, its workforce and society at large, non-financial reporting on a broad range of factors will become more and more important. Tomorrow, you'll hear from a number of UK representatives on their experience in non-financial reporting in the UK, and they will be giving their perspectives on how this has worked. Thank you, and I'm happy to take questions later.